wonderful morning to get to share in. As I mentioned, we were chatting and going through some of the ideas with the music and the conversations and thought it would be a good day to celebrate a Gospel Sunday. Now, these gospel tunes we're singing, they come from the late 1700s, most of them early 1800s. Wonderful tradition of music with the verse and the chorus and the saunter back and forth. These songs actually accompanied in the church something historians call the Great Awakening, something that occurred around revivals and tent meetings and gatherings together. You see, the church, especially as it had moved to America, had come over rather established in themselves, much like they were back over across the pond there. And folks even came over preaching. I mean, the ministers wore these nice, big, fluffy robes. You see, this is what they wore at Oxford. And so this is what the pastor should wear. Well, that didn't play the same way in early America. Folks were working hard. Folks didn't always find themselves sitting in the comfort of a pew. And so folks decided perhaps, just perhaps, it was time to do something different with the message. And then maybe, that's better. They didn't have to deal with microphones. That just maybe there was something to stepping out of the robes and stepping out to where the people were. To spend time out preaching in the fields, talking to the coal miners, gathering people in tents wherever they might be, even if the churches weren't built yet. And when people gathered, they preached their sermons and they sang the songs and they enjoyed being the church together. It was a very special and wonderful movement going on, and this Great Awakening was the idea that people awoke to all that God was doing and was present around them. It seems to imply that everyone was just sort of asleep. Well, I'll tell you, it's something that we see happen over and over in many different people's lives, but not by anybody individual's fault. I find it more to be the church as an institution continues to give people reason to hit the snooze button. We keep giving folks reasons to say, yeah, I don't know if there's much to wake up to when it comes to this whole church thing. But this gospel movement, this revival movement was based in the good news. That's what gospel means. It was based in the good news brought to us in the life of Jesus. The core message of Jesus' life. And for Methodists then and Methodists now, the core of that message is one word, grace. And that's something we get to share in and celebrate today. See, the nice thing is, and mind you, I'm a little biased, there's lots of great places to spend time in worship around this wonderful world of ours. I'm very biased. I love me the Methodist Church. I also have my own little squabbles with it, but I hold to it because of this core of grace that we carry. You see, the Methodist understanding of grace is that grace is something God pours out upon all people everywhere, no matter what. John Wesley talked about grace that met us where we were before we even knew it was in our lives. That's one of the things we celebrate in baptism. When we bring anyone, regardless of age, infant, elderly, anywhere in between, to these waters, we are celebrating not something the water does. We're celebrating something God has already done in each and every life in this world. And that has blessed us with the love and grace of the one that created us. This is a joy. This is a beautiful and wonderful thing for us to celebrate. I love going to do home visits, and I got to sit with Scott and Valerie this week, and we were talking, and I had to remind them that in the Methodist Church, baptism is not some sort of insurance policy. You don't have to get baptized just in case. I tell you, God loved that beautiful child just as much yesterday as God loves that child today, and it's true for every single one of us. This is the grace of God. Now, it meets us. Now, this is the grace that does something for us before we even know it, but once we become aware of God's grace in our lives, we get an invitation to allow God to work on us a little bit, to allow God to transform us. And I want to share with you a story this morning. It finds itself rooted in Scripture. I'm going to turn to the Gospel of Mark here and share a beautiful, beautiful story that I love that especially applies when we think of the children. People were bringing little children to Jesus. Jesus, I know, it's like what happens when you combine Jesus and children, and I don't know, it sounds like a great snack cracker, doesn't it? Jesus. Okay, we'll try it again. People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to the disciples, "Let the children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." Do you hear that grace? "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And then he took the children up in his arms and laid hands on them, and he blessed them. These kids weren't earning anything. These kids weren't working some sort of magic punch list with accumulating gold stars to earn God's love. These kids were being who they were, and Christ reminds us that God loves them just as they are. There's a wonderful Hebrew tradition called Midrash, where the rabbis take a story and they add on to it and weave and go back and forth playing in and out of the scriptures. And I have such a story that ties into this gospel reading from Mark. You see, folks had gathered together, and as often would be, Jesus was preaching and teaching, and so the families gathered together, and one of the families brought with them their little daughter, Hannah. And Hannah was getting a little antsy, because they couldn't see much, all the tall people were in the way, and Jesus just kept talking. And so her mom says, listen, why don't you and the other kids, you go play down by the river. You know, it's a small stream, nothing dangerous. Why don't you guys all go entertain yourselves while the grown-ups sit and listen to Jesus? So Hannah gathers some of her friends, and they all go down to this little river. And they're playing, and they're doing what kids do at a river. They're splishing, they're splashing, and then the mud gets involved. You know, because then you got to draw those little lines and let the water slowly fill in, and then you dig out and make a little lake, and maybe then you take the mud and you start to make the mud pies, and you build things, and you're getting up to your wrists in it, and before you know it, you are covered in mud. The kids are having a good time, and it's about that time that Hannah hears Jesus yelling over the crowd, I said, let the children come to me. And Hannah says, finally, he's talking to us. She throws stuff down and she runs over to see Jesus. And he's standing there and she hops. She's the first kid to jump right into his arms. And there's Jesus in that beautiful white robe holding this muddy child. And the entire crowd goes, oh. And Hannah could feel it get quiet. And she looks down, and Jesus' robe almost has a Hannah-shaped imprint made in mud right on it. And she immediately can tell and feel the judgment that all the people are thinking, look what this little girl did, how inappropriate. This is why the children shouldn't be here. She starts to cry. Jesus, still holding her, looks at the crowd and says, we'll be back. He takes her little muddy hand, and he looks at her and he says, I want you to show me where you were playing. And through the sniffles and the tears, Hannah takes Jesus over and says, we were over here and we were playing in the mud and I shouldn't have come over when I was... And you know, she's doing the thing. And Jesus says, well, what did you make? So Hannah starts showing, well, first we did this and then we did this and these are the mud pies and then so-and-so threw it. And she starts telling the story. He gets right down and he's talking with her. And then she sort of stops remembering what's going on and she says, but Jesus, I got you all muddy. Everyone's upset. She says, oh, Hannah, I want to show you something. And he reaches into the water, and he grabs a handful, and he pours it right onto his robe. And the mud starts to wash away. He does this a few times, and before you know it, all the mud is gone. He says, Hannah, this is what I've been trying to teach the adults over and over and over. There's no mistake you can make that God's love can't fix. And let's go back and try to tell everybody else. You see, this is the story of God's love and grace that not only meets us where we are, but transforms us and overcomes any shortcomings we may have as people. There's no problem we can get ourselves into that God's love will not wash over and help us be made new. But the grace doesn't end there. Because, to be honest, it feels there's a lot of times I just have to keep going back. Hey, Jesus, can we do that whole make me new thing again? Because I keep getting myself into trouble. You know, the idea is that God's grace is sufficient enough to fulfill that invitation we hear in our scriptures when it says, be perfect, therefore, as God in heaven is perfect. Let me tell you, I'm a far way off. But if I believe that God's grace is sufficient, I can keep getting closer. Closer and closer. Here we are in our lives trying to make it day in and day out. You know, I always have sort of never understood when people talk about your Christian walk. I've never really understood that phrase necessarily. My Christian walk, as opposed to like what the jig I do when I'm not. I'm not sure. And so people talk about this Christian walk that we're all on. But this week it made a little bit more sense. You see, Friday night, our little 10-month-old Joey took his first steps. He was over there. He's been cruising around on furniture, and he was on a chair. And I turned to do some things, and I turned around, and he was 3 feet from the chair, standing like this. And I called for Megan, but I couldn't call too loudly because I didn't want to, you know, surprise him and knock him over. So I'm like, "Megan, look." And there he is. So we went for it. "Hey, Joey, come here." Foom, 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 foom. You know, and then there was a dramatic ending to it, and we were there. And it turns out this event is repeatable, and he can keep doing this, and it's so cool. But I knew I was talking about grace today. And I started thinking about that Christian walk we're on. Right now, Joey can make it about, I don't know, 4 or 5 feet. It's not bad. I kid. He's in the back. But you know what? Before I know it, and as I've been warned, he'll make it much farther than that. Before I know it, this gentle awkwardness is going to become a graceful movement. Soon enough, he's going to be running around, tearing out in the playground with the kids during Sunday school. And what is so intentional and so difficult for him to think about, he has to stay so focused, will become second nature. How many of us have actively had to think about it recently? Now, there are some of us who've had a little bump here or there, and we're reworking on the walking. But this is the invitation of the Christian life. Folks, it's not necessarily easy. To live the way Jesus asks us to is sort of like this. Really? You want me to love who? Okay, I need to go serve what? Okay, so you want me to give and support this and that? And it's awkward at times. But it's something we're invited to grow into, and the grace of God is sufficient enough for us to become graceful, moving, living, doing that Christian walk day in and day out. Because God is with us. Isn't that what's best of all? That God is with us. God meets us where we are. God transforms us and overcomes anything that we think could separate us. And then God says, "Now let's take a walk together." As we live into all that is possible. Amen.